This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. With me today is Greta Shetler, founder and CEO of EcoUp Strategies, an organization dedicated to create a world where diversity of gender, culture, ethnicity, ability and background are celebrated and all given the equal opportunity to reach their full potential. Welcome to Malaysia, Greta. I have to ask first, you know, what brings you to the country?
Yeah, thank you so much, Frida. It's such a pleasure to be here and to be able to participate. For me, I, both with my company and all the work that I've done throughout my career, is to really look at how we can create greater opportunities. One of the big areas that we've seen for a lot of economic development is really looking at the power to empower women's economic participation. And the Malaysian government is really taking a forefront on looking at what they can do for women's economic participation. Mm-hmm. So I'm here to speak with a number of different individuals and companies to share some best practices from around the world and see how I can potentially assist.
All right. And what got you to set up EcoUp Strategies?
Yeah. No, thank you so much for asking. So I used to work for the U.S. government and I led all of our U.S. foreign policy on women's economic participation. So I saw the government side of it, which is so important. And then I went and I led a nonprofit called We Connect International that worked with the private sector on their strategies to engage women. And what I saw really is across the board is that a lot of times when you are thinking about women's economic participation, it's only women at the table. And I wanted to really make a change and think through strategies that engage both men and women, boys and girls. Right. So I left and started my own company to really think about how do we think about equal opportunity and inclusivity for all and making sure that everyone sees that they have a role in creating an equal world.
Right. I understand when you talk about these conversations and you see women, it's just like preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
They've already converted. So we're just saying the same things over again to the same kind of audience. Now, the aspects of your work, your efforts has made you recognized as a champion for equality. So from your founding of the company to serving as senior economic policy advisor at the Office of Global Women's Issues and many more initiatives to resolve them. What do you think it will take to achieve gender equality, achieving Planet 50-50?
Yeah, it's such a big question.
Yeah.
So actually, there's been a lot of really great research over the past 10 years. And I think that's what's really exciting about the moment we're in now, is that economic ministers and trade ministers, everyone is talking about the importance of women's economic participation. So, for example, in Latin America alone, they found there was a decrease in poverty by 30%. From an increase of women's participation just over the last past 10 years. That's incredible. And ultimately, that's what countries and economies want, is to decrease poverty. So I think we're in a really great point. So what we found is that there's kind of maybe three different buckets to really focus on if we're going to create a more equal society. So one is kind of fundamental enablers. And number two is looking at opportunity and inclusion. And then three is looking at really the equality and safety of the environment. So the thing, again, is always focusing on it. This is not about women, but it's really thinking through a whole of government, a whole of private sector, a whole of society strategies. So in the first bucket, really looking at the importance of education. And that's something that Malaysia has done a great job in. Really, women are exceeding, girls are excelling in education. So that's amazing. The next part is making sure that that education does really reach everyone and that it translates into economic opportunities and decent work. So sometimes there's a gap between education, what people are learning in schools, and connections to job and job opportunities. So one of the next areas under the initial fundamental enablers is really looking at what are the ability for women to access decent work, and whether or not they are able to, comfortably work in and access those jobs. So three other pieces that are also important under that bucket and which people might not think about is a lot of it, if you think kind of about a woman and her whole life cycle, is all of the pieces that end up influencing that.
Right. Life stages.
Life stages. And so especially important in a country like Malaysia is family. Mm. And so thinking through when a woman has her family and the different influences that happen and when they decide to get married, we found that if there are policies that enable a woman to do that, where she can, work and have children when she wants to and also go back into the labor force, it's so important. Mm. And so thinking through strategies, both in the private sector and the public sector, to really enable women. So this is where Malaysia is great again, is they're just thinking through, announced some new policies on child care,
right,
and providing that more opportunities there. So those are some really great ones in the first bucket. Mm. And I can keep going.
Oh, do go on. No, the thing with family, though, yeah. When I do give talks and everything, mm-hmm. women say, what's your advice? I said, freeze your eggs. If you're in your 20s, freeze eggs.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that it's interesting to that point is, when you take steps, all that does is create more freedom and opportunity.
Right, right.
And it doesn't mean you have to ever use them.
Right.
But you know what? The best thing in life is to give yourself as much opportunity and freedom to do things mm-hmm. when you want. Mm-hmm. So I concur with that advice.
Okay, what's number two again?
So number two is opportunity and inclusion. So mm-hmm. a big piece there that we're seeing to really move the needle forward is mm-hmm. financial inclusion. Mm-hmm. A lot of women, especially in KL, most likely have accounts and are educated on how to use those financial resources. But when you look at all different areas across Malaysia, you really want to think about how every woman has an account. And that's what we've been seeing around the world, is that those accounts really enable, again, going back to economic freedom and opportunity saving for different types of emergencies that come up so that you're not ever stuck in a situation. Yeah. So financial inclusion is very important. A second one under opportunity and inclusion is also access to digital inclusion. Mm-hmm. So that's a big piece, again, is that a lot of times when you're thinking through strategies is, whether or not especially the new age, is do people have access mm-hmm. to that type of technology and are included in it? And women often are not don't have as much of an equal access there. The next part also under opportunity and inclusion is also making sure that there's access to vocational skills and life experiences. Mm. So this kind of goes back into tying in with the education part, is that there might be education, but if you're thinking about the jobs of the future, you have to have opportunities to learn some of those more hardcore skills. And so making sure that people have those opportunities as well. And then another big piece also under opportunity and inclusion is making sure that it's not just access to or the ability to work, but making sure that there's access to decent jobs. And so this goes back to looking at leadership opportunities and the ability to rise into different areas and having that freedom of each person being able to achieve what they want. Mm. And then finally, under that bucket also is really looking at the ability for women to, this goes into the third one, but is looking at kind of safety and workplace environment. So this is a big one that you see also across the world with Me Too movements, is, people have to feel safe in their work environment and feel, not worry about children, worry about their safety in order to really be as productive as possible.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that one. In just a moment, I'm here with Greta Shetler from Equal App Strategies. You're listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Beats, funk, Mixtapes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Enterprise. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Greta Shetler, founder and CEO of Equal Up Strategies, which is an organization dedicated to create a world where diversity of gender, culture, ethnicity, ability, and background are celebrated. She's here on a visit with the U.S. Government. And, you know, we were talking earlier on about enablers, covering fundamental enablers, opportunities, inclusion, and talking about equality and safety. And, you know, just to talk a little bit more about safety, it's the simplest things, right? I mean, I was just reading an article over the weekend in Runner's World magazine, how women just can't even run without fear, right? The women are the one running with the mace and the pepper spray and everything else, right? And it's just a simple thing that the man doesn't have to think about, you know? Well, you know what I mean? It's less of that, right? And so what do you cover when you talk about equality and safety? And I guess it also covers sexual harassment and all the other things as well.
Exactly. No, Frida, you bring up a really great point. A lot of what we deal with every day are things for us that just no-brainers, right? It's about, you know, economics, which is so great, but it's about human behavior and how every day a person makes a judgment on whether or not they will or will not do something, whether it's worth it. So when you're thinking about the ability to get a job or whether or not it's worth it. If you have problems in terms of riding on transportation, so we see this as a big issue. Are you getting harassed on a transportation line? How much time do you have to waste in that transportation? Is there, you know, types of being, you know, whether it's a public transportation, is there any sexual harassment? Are there facilities? So a lot of times women maybe are taking their children somewhere and maybe there's a cleanliness of facilities. So when you start to do these global surveys, you find that there's all these different factors that women are thinking about, exactly as you were saying, even going for a run, that often men don't think about. Right. And so when a a company or a government is developing a strategy or new types of transportation systems, they need to think about the safety of women and how women might be affected by that. And that's why one of the things, across the United States at a lot of university campuses, they've been put in all of these different types of blue light systems, because when women walk at home from school or from classes, they want to be able to easily inform any type of official if some type of threat arises. So it's thinking, always trying to put the mindset of how might a woman feel in order to be able to do the things that every other person should be able to do without any worries.
Just earlier on, when you talked about opportunities, inclusion, and about financial opportunities, and I look at myself just living here in Kuala Lumpur, access to a lot of these things already, but within the society in Kuala Lumpur, you've got the urban poor, right? And they live in a completely different world. We're not even talking about the rural area, but like there's so many layers to what happens in a city. And sometimes, ignorance cannot be bliss anymore, right?
You know, I think a lot of times, and this is kind of the fault across the board with anything where women are excluded, is it's not often intended. So what happens with a lot of senior level positions is that individuals think about who do they know in their network, what are the strategic goals of the company, how are they going to be able to be successful, and who are those individuals they know of that are going to be able to bring that those strategic goals to the table. And so again, this goes back to informal and formal networks, which is one of the big challenges, is that a lot of times women aren't in those circles, or they don't have the same connections. Their names aren't being mentioned as much. It's not often that it's intention. It's just that a lot of times they're not in the same networks. And again, one thing I always like to know is that often, if it is perceived, it might be that, okay, women is another part of diversity. And maybe there's one woman that needs to be on the board in order to be able to have that diversity and inclusion, when in reality, women really should be 50% or close there to it, because it's a whole different perspective, just as we talked about. If you don't have women's thoughts or perspective of how they might be influenced, what's happening with the market, how are they being affected by with childcare or families or safety, men are not going to be able to bring that same type of insight. And this is what's so critical, especially for the business world. is companies are finding across the board, if teams and divisions do much better when they're balanced.
Right.
You definitely don't want all women. You don't want all men. You want a balance. And I think that's what's so important, which companies need to really hold themselves accountable for, even at the board.
Right.
Because those having that vision and having that consciousness, you know, both genders really bring something different to the table.
Right. You know, it also comes back to society, right? When you talk about this, you're not being in line of sight is because a lot of the all boys club, they network in the evening and the generally women would, you know, societal expectations that you're at home, right?
Yeah.
And so you're sort of not networking in the evenings, right? So I know that working with, just talking to lead women, they're encouraging 30% women on the board. So they have these luncheons, right? And so that's one way of trying to get women to network a little bit more. But, and also it's beyond coming up with policy sometimes as well. It's what happens in the situation, like in a family situation. Do these things have to change?
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, you don't always want to put the onus just on women,
right?
And being the ones to change. And this is where, again, I go back to equal up. You know, it is men's role too. They have to see the value and the business sense and the economic sense of making sure that women are at the table. And so I think, you know, it's what we have been finding over the past few years is that, you know, that leadership and that direction needs to really come from the top to say, okay, it's important that we find women. I know that these different candidates, but we need to make sure, or else we're going to miss out on critical business opportunity, critical growth, critical competitiveness. And from the networking perspective, one of the things we found is that, you know, and this is something, again, to kind of think through, is whenever there are those big formal networks or big meetings, is that, yes, to have something that is women that focused, but to make sure that women are also being included in the other main events. Because what's happening, again, kind of going back to this, is that women are forming their own networks, but they're not still being included. And so, again, you really want to make those connections and putting a bit of the onus on male champions of change and understanding. To be a good leader, you need to have a balanced team. And what are the metrics and KPIs that you can put on your team to ensure that women leaders or potential women leaders are coming up the pipeline? And I think that's something that's really important. And I, you know, ask for all the, you know, women and male leaders is to really think about the next generation of women and what you can do in your position to help prepare them to have an easier time to get to the top.
Right. There's what I don't I'm not too sure if the he for she movement really took off, right, in that sense. So, you know, according to the Sustainable Development Goals 2019, it is forecast that Malaysia won't reach gender equality by 2030. We're moving up, but not by 2030. And generally, and not just in Malaysia, what do you think, though, is holding women back? I mean, there's some things that, you know, we also have to take responsibility for. What are some things that we can do to, you know, to change?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have said this a while ago, but a number of studies have really been showing this, is that, you know, childcare and the responsibilities of family is one big piece that is really the majority of the burden is placed on women.
Right.
And the challenge is that it takes women out of a key time period when men are staying in the workforce and they're improving their talents and moving forward. And then often when women come back, they don't have that same, maybe, again, they're getting paid less. It goes back to the economics, right? You're like, is it worth it? If I'm not going to get promoted, I'm not getting paid the same amount of money, you know, I've got this family at home, I might as well just take care of my family. So all of these economic, all these decisions are going into a woman's mind. And one big piece in every country, no matter what level it is, in every area in terms of economic opportunity, is the accessibility of quality, cost, affordability, cleanliness of childcare facilities. And it's being shown again and again in research that really enables women to take that challenge to lead, because they are great leaders.
Right.
They are great leaders. And really challenging themselves and not worrying that that's going to have a negative impact on the family. And I think also for men to really be willing to step in and take on some of those responsibilities. Right. It doesn't have to be everything, but look at how you can work together, because women are really great about being multitaskers and managing lots of different things. But I think really being, this is where coming in and you know, seeing what are the goals, where do they want to go from a career perspective, and knowing that family will be there for you. Mm. And how do you really blend those two together? I think that's something where we're seeing just rapid movements for women in all different types of countries when they really are able to look at how they can share the responsibilities and the love and joy right. for taking care of family.
But when I look at countries that have sort of done it right, would be Scandinavia, mm-hmm. right? They've got the parental leave and I guess raising a family is the equal responsibility of both. So other than breastfeeding, mm-hmm. the man can do everything else, mm-hmm. right? But the price of that is paying 65% in taxes, mm-hmm. yeah. right? So there is that question, right? Which sort of like, I don't think we have the answer for it today. Yeah. Okay, now you're also involved in APAC Women Economy. So, you know, what was your role there?
Yeah. So I had the great pleasure of working under Secretary Clinton during the Obama administration. And we really at that time saw the importance of women and women's economic participation in terms of driving global economic growth, especially for APEC. Mm. So, you know, there's numbers that show if we decrease the female labor force participation gap by 28%, there's an increase of $28 trillion globally. So that's massive. Mm. So what my role was is to really think through how do we take the advancement of women's economic participation into all of the other economic forums. So connecting with SME and entrepreneurship ministers, connecting with trade ministers, connecting with finance ministers, health ministers, education ministers, everyone has a role in it. Mm. And there are regulations and restrictions and limitations that are really prohibiting women from being able to advance. So one of the big pieces that I was really involved in was working with all the different 21 economies to formulate how women in an economy forum could really work across all different types of ministries, identify different key challenges that fall outside of the gender ministry, and really engage and empower the other ministries to take on those regulatory reforms or structural reforms and to see it as something that it is their opportunity to really drive economic growth and making it really seen as a key economic driver and the potential that can happen for any economy. So that was my main role. I think the best thing about APEC is the continuity and the willingness of all economies to work together on economic issues. Because we all know at the end of the day, when economies grow and economies do better, people do better, poverty is reduced. And ultimately, that's what the goal that we all want is for everyone to be able to live a better life with more liberties and freedoms.
All right. Thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to Greta Shetler from Equal Up Strategies. You've been listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.